The floor is yours, Johnny.
Welcome to the TV Dudes. This is Johnny Neal.
So, the way you said that, you just, it looked like you blew Grant's ear off. And so he like adjusted the headphones. Like,
it was a bit loud.
It was awesome.
Listeners, I can't help but be loud because I'm concerned.
Oh,
no.
I think that we have an issue that we need to look at. According to the January 19th, 2011, Huffington Post article, Monsanto forced Fox TV to censor coverage of dangerous milk drug. And, you know, the Huffington Post is almost as reputable as the TV Dudes. So I think that they're a pretty good source.
Okay.
They pay as much as the TV Dudes, too.
Wait. There's a milk drug and they don't want it advertised?
They don't want it covered. They censored a bovine growth hormone that went into dairy cows, and Fox allowed themselves to be bought out by Monsanto about it.
Doesn't that jeopardize their ethics? Is this Milkgate?
Milkgate. Milkgate?
Yeah, this is Milkgate.
Cartongate. Let's call it Cartongate.
Is it Obama's fault?
It's probably Obama.
Is this coming up because of the midterms? I mean, you know.
Maybe it is. See, this is what I'm wondering.
ISIS.
Listeners, if you're just tuning in, I've been following a trend. It started as an accident, but now it's looking like it was a cry for help. In the first episode of The Strain, everyone's favorite bewigged CDC monitor, Corey Stoll, and Sean Astin had a strange interlude on a tarmac where Sean Astin held up a little milk carton for him to drink before he walked on board a totally sick airplane full of dead bodies. And he, you know, nothing rinses out your mouth for dealing in germs and airborne illnesses like Ebola than milk. So that was the first sign. And then later on, a couple of episodes in this season, you're the worst, Rupert. You're the worst. Had an episode called Drink Your Milk, in which Aya Cash was ordered by her father to glug a giant goblet of white milk. It was pornographically gross. I just want to tell you.
This does remind me of an episode of It's Always Sunny where Charlie Day orders the milk steak.
He always orders the milk steak.
Who orders the milk steak?
And what channel is FX? Always Sunny on?
Dun, dun.
FX now, but yeah.
Yeah, and do you know what kosher means? One of the elements of kosher? You can't get your meat and your milk from the same
source.
Merchant, from the same source. So maybe that's a little anti-Semitism in that Charlie Day
escalating,
statement as
Johnny,
well.
You are escalating.
I wish you guys could see. Johnny's got a little notebook like a 40s investigative reporter.
He's got the hat. Sure,
I like to think it's full of details like Kevin Spacey's notebooks in Seven of various milk-related atrocities.
All of Johnny's fingers are like stripped off his fingerprints. They're bandaged.
I only have 6 different colored highlighters.
Wow.
But
wow.
Johnny, this does bring us to the most recent, right?
On Sunday night on the Treehouse of Horror, they did, anyone who's familiar with the Clockwork Orange knows that the Droogies hung out in the Corova Milk Bar.
That's right.
They did a Clockwork, it was called a Clockwork Yellow, and they did a lot of scenes from the Corova Milk Bar, but they kind of fudged it to be bottles of Duff in bio.
But it's too late. You knew it was milk.
Because last night on Gotham, in the opening scenes of Gotham, there's a new street drug in Gotham. Yes. A new street drug.
A new street drug. Is the drug milk?
It's called Viper.
Oh, it's called Viper.
And if you snort this drug, if you breathe it through your nose,
yes,
it makes you drink milk.
Come on.
In the opening first couple of minutes, there was a villain. And his name, as most Batman villains, you know, has a very colorful name. His name was Stan Podolsky.
It wasn't Louis Pasteur or something?
Oh, what a bump. There you go.
Oh, that would have been really good.
Yeah.
That would have been really... You're in on this, aren't you?
You know what? Here's what I'm noticing, Johnny. You're making a very convincing argument, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, each week you're getting more milk evidence.
I'm not even looking for this evidence. It's falling in my lap like the truth often does.
I, for one, am shocked that someone is still watching Gotham.
I can't help it. I'm looking for the truth. The truth is out there, like FX used to believe.
Oh, boy.
And I want to believe that the truth is out there.
Are we, like, on some kind of... like rogue FM band radio, like band, like you know, where we're just all the conspiracies.
We're on,
like,
the FBI milk watch list.
The milk watch the list. Milk, oh yeah, well, because the government, you know, that government cheese was all milk.
That's true.
So, and yep. I mean, I've never been that broke.
That was a good time though. Yeah. That was all. That was when milk was a good thing.
Oh, that's what they told you.
That was pre-vegan.
That's that local conspiracy theory guy.
Oh, Alan Jones.
Can we get on his show? Now?
Yeah,
I
don't want to.
Wars, it'd be like more like milk wars.
Well,
milk wars.
Okay, today we are on the TV, dude.
That's a great edit. Okay, we're just gonna act like it didn't happen.
Listeners, if you see any more evidence like this, just let us know. Let us know.
Johnny know. Let Johnny know. At Milk Conspiracy.
This is one of those things that if we were actually had like a lot of Hollywood money, if we were like Seth Rogen or whatever. We could take this to Funny or Die and be hilarious. You know what I mean?
I don't know. I don't know about Funny or Die.
What? Funny or Die? What's some of Funny or Die? Or like, or John Oliver. Do something really, really cool with it.
I'm not joking.
I know. That's the best part of it.
Are you making fun of me?
No, not at all. I'm trying to. Where's the door?
Awkward.
All right. So guys. The milk conspiracy facts keep stacking
We're
up.
We're done with it.
I just want to tell you.
We got to move on.
They're stacking up.
Ladies and gentlemen, today on the TV Dudes, we are talking about a couple different TV shows. We got Top Chef. We're going to talk about Married. Marry Me. Marry Me. There we go. We're going to talk about American Horror Story, the fourth season. And we're going to be talking about, what was the other one?
The Affair.
Transparent
and The Affair.
And The Affair.
And nobody saw the end of The Nick.
No.
Okay.
Not yet.
The only person who saw it. Okay.
I'm going to get there.
Okay.
Anytime. And then we're also going to be talking about Bearded Sidekicks, obviously a trend that a couple other TV websites out there have also been addressing. We're going to address that in our third half of the show.
Milk's mustaches.
Before we get to all of that, we are going to go ahead and do our email and our iTunes shoutouts. First, starting off with our iTunes shoutouts, we have Fernando Rodriguez with the title Check TV Dudes Out. He said, one of the most entertaining and informative TV podcasts around. So if you're a fan of TV in any way, you're doing yourself a great disservice to not listening by not listening to the show.
Thank you, Fernando. Get the word out.
Awesome, yeah. And
save yourself.
Everyone else, if you are listening to this, please do us a great favor of going to the iTunes store, finding our podcast, and giving us a 5-star rating. And then write us a review, and we'll read it on the show.
And by the way, I just updated all my Apple stuff. So I went to the iTunes store, which updated. They're like, like there's this thing where they had like this whole band of TV banter, where they like put it up there, where they put all the TV podcasts and fan shows.
Oh yeah,
like as a page. How the hell can we get up on there? I don't even know.
We just need to get more of these, these things.
Because if you like put it, so if you put in TV, right, and you search TV, and then it'll search, and if you put like podcast, it's got like just all the TV podcast up
more
there.
More ratings, more listeners. Tell your friends as
we
well.
We want to be there.
Us. Follow us on Facebook and on
Twitter. Also, if we stop talking about the milk conspiracy and buy in.
Oh, there we go.
It's not worth
it.
People don't promote the people to troublemakers.
You think you too pissed off their fans? You just see what happens when I drop this research and investigation.
Wow.
There's going to be a lot of disappointed people out there.
Okay, well, we're going to move on from Johnny's crazy to we got some questions on our Facebook page. If you guys go ahead and like us on Facebook.com/TVDudes, you can also ask questions weekly. We put up a little post. Our first question comes from Michael Gastini. Sorry if I mispronounced that. It says, what shows do you guys feel have gotten overlooked or unjustly hated? His answer, Spartacus. People dismiss it as an excuse for blood and nudity, even if the story and acting were great. One of the best shows of our time, in his opinion.
Wow.
I mean, that's bold, high praise.
Can you tell us what comes in second and third?
I will say this. I watched that first season.
Uh-huh.
It is really good.
I heard it gets a lot better. The first episode turned me off completely, but I hear
it got really
good.
The first episode was rough. Actually, the first couple. But then all of a sudden, it like flips a switch, and it's dark, it's gritty, it's boobs and blood, sure.
Yeah.
But it's got a great story back behind it, and it was really fun to watch.
You know, I'm gonna go to bat for Friends, which is coming to Netflix soon.
Yeah, that got
that was such a minor that really flew under the radar.
I'm the only person in America that hated Friends.
No, I think that if you look at people talk about Friends,
got unjustly hated by Greg.
Yeah, I'm the only person in America that doesn't like Friends.
People will talk about Friends like Friends does not get mentioned in the same breath with the other like must see comedies.
Okay.
It's the one that everybody's like, oh, it's so stupid.
Wait, it lasted.
I hated all those characters.
That's the title of an episode, right? The one that everybody said it's so stupid.
I think that Friends is better than people give it credit for.
I don't know. I don't know what
it holds up as well.
Do you not?
No.
I don't know. I still find it really funny, and I still think they had a pretty good ensemble cast.
I've never heard anybody other than me that didn't like Friends. Seriously,
I've heard plenty of people who sort of... It's sort of, I think, thought of in the same way that, say, Everybody Loves Raymond and that kind of thing. Where
I liked it.
Maybe it's popular, but it's not popular among the TV literati.
Well, I liked Everybody Loved Raymond, but...
I thought it wasn't... I mean, it came out in the same time as Seinfeld, and Seinfeld eclipsed it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not as good as Seinfeld, but
so I think it immediately gets relegated to second best.
I guess.
Yeah.
You know, and another one that...
Shows like that stay second best.
The other one, News Radio, is not hated or anything, but I think it was better than it ever got credit for. Like, I think it's one of the best shows.
It was a cult show, though. I mean, the people that liked it loved it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that was one of those shows that was in an odd time slot, and they moved it around a couple times.
Yeah, yeah. Never, and I know I missed tons of episodes.
Yeah, me too.
Similarly, and this is, again, I can't think of shows that were hated that I like, because usually I'm pretty much in agreement with people who hate shows, but Drew Carey is another one of those shows that it's not on DVD. And I actually thought that was a really fun ensemble comedy.
Yeah, I really liked it.
So you basically...
It's more like enough of that overlooked. Show.
A hated show.
Yeah. No, I think those are ones... Friends obviously didn't get overlooked. But I think Drew Carey and News Radio, while they ran for many seasons, I don't think that people really remember them.
I think there's two that they rerun every once in a while and I watch and think, these things are funny. Becker was one. I liked Becker.
I've never seen an episode of Becker.
Really?
It's funny. I feel like I should.
It's funny. Yeah. It is really, really funny.
I love Ted Danson.
And the New Adventures of Old Christine.
Also never saw that one.
Was funny.
Huh.
Was very... And that's where to me, that's kind of what kicked off like the Julia Louis-Dreyfus kind of comeback was that series. It had Wanda Sykes in it. It was funny. Very, very funny.
It had Coulson in it.
Yeah.
Huh.
Johnny, you got any shows that you feel overlooked or unjustly hated?
I'm going to go with Bored to Death on HBO.
Oh, man, yeah.
That's a good one.
I was really surprised how many people didn't like that show or just never even gave it a shot.
It didn't get as high of praise.
Nobody... It really didn't have a big push either from HBO.
Yeah. It was an acquired taste, though. I mean, you had to give it a few episodes before it really hooked you.
Yeah, I guess, but it had me from the start. Mm-hmm. It just did. Everything about it.
With Ted Danson.
That opening sequence and that music... That'll be in my head for the rest of the night.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Lucky Louie is one that I often say I really enjoyed.
I liked it too.
It got dropped pretty quickly.
I don't know. It's funny that they're all like comedies with like some of them with laugh tracks. It's actually kind of funny. But
Wasn't that live though? Didn't he do that live?
I thought he did. I can't remember if he did it live. I thought it was funny. I thought all the characters mixed nice. It's just, I think it seemed odd.
A good spoof on regular family sitcom.
Yeah.
And it was a working class family sitcom.
And they were all of
what's the one?
Rugby show or whatever.
Yeah.
I thought it was great.
I thought it was funny because all the same characters he used in Louis, or all the same people or actors he used in Louis,
and you
are used there.
It had this art vibe to it that you certainly see the glimmers of what he ended up doing with Louis.
It was kind of meta. It was a kind of commentary on sitcoms.
Mm-hmm.
And I have another show I was going to mention, but I see that it's brought up in comments for a second question, so I'll first read that question in the comment. Then I'll bring it up.
Okay.
Jesus Vasquez Velasco says, whenever there is a conversation about HBO shows, usually there's praise about how good their programs are. But is there such a thing as a terrible HBO show?
Yes.
Which is the worst HBO show you've seen / remember. And then Marvin Lanier ends up saying, The Leftovers left him cold.
Oh.
Which I would say... The Leftovers is another great example because I do think this is a show that gets a lot of hate from a certain audience.
There is only one show that I might have to go back and rewatch, but I watched when it came on that I'm like, this show is ridiculous. And of course, is it John from Cincinnati? because it ended. It ended Deadwood, okay. And he's like, okay.
John from Cincinnati's a great example.
That show was terrible. It's like you ended you. I mean, I'm not even luck. Sure. I'm not even sure.
Luck was a.
No, luck was better.
I did not like luck.
Luck was
better,
bad.
But it was better than John from
Cincinnati. The funny thing about HBO shows that are bad, though, they disappear.
Yeah,
you know, yeah, they're like not on never, HBO Go.
You forget that they were even there. You know?
Yeah, good luck watching episodes of Arliss.
Arliss. Or Dream On.
Or Dream On.
I like Dream On.
You like
time.
Dream On.
Or like...
That's the other problem with Overlook.
Well, those are like from the, those are from the 90s when they're still getting stuff up.
I liked Dream On at the time. I don't know how well it would hold up. Don't get me wrong. I'm not upset it's not on HBO Go or anything.
Right.
Girls isn't one for you?
Oh.
You're
going to go
for
there,
me,
really?
It's just not his taste.
It's a terrible show. There but it'll be viewed as Sex in the City, where you go back, you're like, this is enjoyable, but this really wasn't that good. 10 years from now, guaranteed.
I will take that bet.
So HBO's got some misses on there.
Sure.
Of course they do.
But like Johnny says, they vanish them down the memory hole. Yeah.
Right.
I don't remember
they
them.
Have a pretty good track record.
But HBO's been around for 30 years. I mean, all like HBO Showtime and Cinemax have all been around a long time.
I liked Hello Ladies, but I'm pretty sure
that was
most
bad.
People did not
that was
like
bad. That.
I did not like
that
it.
Was Stephen
also,
Merchant.
Entourage. Entourage started out good.
It started out good, but it got awful.
So, is the Sopranos the pre-Sopranos? Is the Sopranos the crux? Oz. Okay,
Oz.
That's what started the new way. Because I don't even think of like The Hitcher and Dream On and all those.
I forgot about The Hitcher.
As even decent HBO shows.
I think Oz gets overlooked all the time. Like immediately, people just go. Sopranos kicked it off.
Sure.
But Oz was there first.
But here's the question. Does Oz hold up?
I haven't watched it lately.
Yes.
Does it?
Okay. From the episodes I've seen, I think it still has its place.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's edgy and kind of gross and sickening in a way.
Yeah.
But I think it's still...
I haven't watched it in a long in many
years. I haven't watched
it. I wrote about Oz on our website in a response to a letter from one of our listeners. And
from prison?
Sorry. I love Oz. I always looked at it a little bit like a science fiction show because it had that, like, every prison movie has the yard, and there was no yard on Oz. Everything was indoors, so you kind of had a feeling like they were in space or something. But the Harold Perrineau doing the narration from his glass box in the middle, that was just such an odd, great way of tying that show together and grounding it.
Poetic.
Yeah.
Really made a beautiful theme.
And then, spoilers, after he got killed, he still did it. Yeah. You know, after the character died, he was still doing it. It even made the previous episodes weirder. And the way people would just come and go, you know, they would they'd get sentenced and then die. Holy and you're going, was that a guest spot? Or, I was really fond of that show.
The number of great people on Oz is pretty impressive.
That's the other thing. That was the first example of that whole... HBO uses New Yorkers for casting instead of LA for casting.
It was based in New York.
Go on to everything else.
Yeah.
It is so funny.
Just like The Wire now.
Just go back and just... Everybody just go to Wikipedia. I just went to Wikipedia and just look at all these shows. Like, who remembers The Spawn show?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
The Spawn.
They animated it.
They animated it, which I actually liked. I thought that was kind of cool. Or Tracy Takes On. Remember Tracy Ullman?
Oh, yeah.
Tracy Ullman.
Which was great. Arlet, let's see. Taxi.
That was on HBO. I thought that was a Fox show.
No,
it was on HBO.
She had a Fox show as well.
Oh, okay.
She was the shit.
Was afterwards.
She was funny. I always liked her.
Let's get to our next question here. Kyle Volte says, if you could get rid of one of the four big networks, which one would it be and why?
CBS.
Also, Johnny's right about the milk thing. It's creepy when you
Thank you, Kyle. Thank you. I was before I even got a chance to give you a big shout out and thank you for your support. Thank you for mentioning it here too.
Thank you, Kyle. Call a doctor.
Well, okay, I have to throw
obviously none of us are big enough to get rid of Rupert Murdoch's network.
Now without
obviously.
Any milk. Would you get rid of
Fox?
No. Even though I still barely even consider it a legitimate channel because it's like it's still not all the time programming like other channels, like the other three.
I have to recuse myself because I watch sports and sports is on all of them, so I don't want to get rid of any of them. But if I take out the sports,
your sports would go somewhere.
Oh, then I mean the only one I don't watch is CBS, so I wouldn't care if it was gone.
Yeah.
Well, wait, I love 60 Minutes though. I do like 60 Minutes.
Oh, you're so smart.
But I mean,
it's got to be one of the big four. You have to get rid of it.
That's right, or else they're gonna kill all of them.
The thing is, if I gave away CBS whenever I went to see my mother, I'd have to talk to her because Jack wouldn't be on.
You know what? Then I would say
all those shows she watches wouldn't be on.
List. I would say NBC, ABC. Then I like Blackish. I like, I don't know.
You do.
CBS would be gone in a heartbeat.
Yeah, CBS.
Yeah, it didn't have to be CBS.
They're the one that is still holding everyone else back because everyone's trying to emulate their model.
Yep. Because they're the ones who make money.
Being able to push TV forward, which all the other ones are at least trying, and CBS...
Well, they don't have to. I mean,
CBS... that's why they're gone.
And their anomaly shows would find other homes.
But it's so funny because the whole HBO unbundling and CBS unbundling, I'm like, of course it makes sense. They're owned by Viacom. Viacom's going to unbundle everything. Okay, so well, it's easy for them.
You wouldn't get... We're all CBS.
Well, CBS, you would kill somebody else?
Yeah.
Well, given that, no, I mean, I could 60 minutes if they somebody else would pick it up. So
this is such an agonizing question.
We're not actually going to do it.
So
I know.
We don't have bombs in the transmitter.
But this is what I feel like a Jack Bauer moment. In there.
Is that what you're saying?
It's just the big four.
Okay, dang. Wow. Oh, Greg, I'm sorry, I didn't see you there.
Oh, wow. Cold.
Hey, there's another question over here.
Yeah.
All right.
Right.
Last question. Yeah. Kevin Moreno says, "Have you ever dealt with a show that you don't like, yet you still keep watching because I'm dealing with this issue with Gotham and I..." And also, do you think the IT Crowd remake would be a perfect fit for IVFC Network?
I don't know the original version of that.
It's not a bad thought.
The first part of the question, we've gotten that.
Oh, jeez. Hate watching?
Yeah, hate watching.
True Blood.
We did a whole episode on
Homeland. Yeah, Homeland is my current hate watch.
Homeland has gotten a lot better. It's gotten a lot better.
If I may.
Sorry.
An intervention.
Okay.
Listen, we all like Batman, except for Johnny. We all wanted Gotham to be a show. We really did. I'm talking to... What's the listener's name, Grant?
This is Kevin.
Kevin, I want to talk to you. I want to reach out to you through the radio waves. We all like Batman. We all like Gotham City. We all want it to be a good show. We all think Catwoman's really cute. We do in a young, appropriate way. We all really think that, yeah, Oswald Cobblepot, it's an interesting take. Maybe it's an interesting take. You need to stop, man. Put down the remote. Watch some Simpsons reruns. If you got to sort of methadone it, you know, put on some Batman animated series. But you're just hurting yourself, man. We all love you. Be strong, Kevin.
You're hurting America. Okay, and the second part of that question was... They're apparently remaking IT Crowd. I think we discussed this last week.
I don't know if we talked about it, but Bill Lawrence is involved, which means I'm curious.
What? Yeah. Okay, what was the original?
He said it should be on IFC, although it's probably just going to be on like...
It'll be an NBC or something,
ABC,
right?
Or NBC, yeah.
Or TBS.
Yeah.
The IT... I don't even know.
It was a British show.
Oh, okay.
And
it's about like the IT helpers itself, like internal customer support.
And Grant, we did not talk about this. I remember you posting on Facebook that... There was a previous version of the IT Crowd.
Well, aside from the British version.
Yeah, the American remake.
They did an episode with Joel McHale.
Joel McHale.
And,
it's crazy.
And the same guy from the original version. The black guy with the afro, the nerdy guy.
Shaft?
Shaft. Yeah, he was on it, too.
Nerdy Shaft?
And it was
I'm just awkward. Talking about Nerdy Shaft.
No, nobody.
Right. I love that, man. That's me laughing. I love that.
Randy, we all love Shaft, but I'm gonna try to talk you off of that leg.
That was good. I like that.
We would be talking about the news, but I think we're gonna go ahead and take a quick break first, and then we'll be back with some news.
Up of my heart when it skips a beat. Can't feel no pavement right under my feet. I feel my lonely room when I'm dreaming of you. Oh, what can I do? I still need you, but I don't want you now. Can't disguise. It's gonna hurt, but I'll have to say goodbye.
ready for the news?
Yeah.
Is it milk related?
Johnny, it's all milk related.
Sponsored by
all
milk
related.
Sorry, Johnny.
So first of all, we no longer live in our world. We live in Simpsons world.
No longer live. We've lived in Simpsons world since 1990. Yeah, 89.
The Simpsons world website is officially launched. As has the app, which is the FX Now app, is on iPhone, iPad, Android, Xbox One, Apple TV, Samsung Smart TVs, everywhere.
What is this Simpsons One?
So Simpsons World is has everything Simpsons, a dynamic news feed showcasing the latest Simpsons news, the Simpsons Heartbeat, which organizes the complete catalog of episodes by popularity, a premium video player that provides recommendations to other clips and episodes, as well as the ability to share across social networks.
So you can just watch all episodes whenever you want.
Every episode, whenever you want. And you can share. You have to have a cable subscription to watch episodes, but you can share clips now. So there are clips of The Simpsons on, where they've been really big about taking them down from YouTube.
So it's kind of like South Park, that site.
Yeah, yeah. People have mentioned South Park, they did this previously and they shut it down. But yeah, it's basically everything Simpsons accessible. I went and dug into
that South Park site got shut down.
It got shut down a little while ago. They shut it down. I mean, they shut it down because they had a Hulu deal.
Yeah, it was their own.
Okay. Yeah, they didn't. It wasn't like, you know, Kim Jong Un didn't shut it down or anything. But the Simpsons World. I went and played around with it a little bit because I'd found out it was open today, and it's not as super cool as you hope it is. It's not like I was hoping for some magical Simpsons meets Siri experience where you just say, show me that great clip I like from that episode, and it would show it to you. No, it's still just a website, but it's a cool website, and I'm looking
Can
forward to digging into it.
Customize your own Randy?
Did I customize my own Randy? No.
Can you make your own Simpson Randy there?
I don't think so.
That'd be pretty cool.
I would
cool.
imagine that would be one of the first things. That,
yeah, they did it for Futurama.
Simpsons eyes yourself or whatever, like you Madman yourself.
No, this is all about the content. It's definitely all about the actual episodes.
I love this idea.
Yeah.
I just am not that much into The Simpsons. But I mean, it just, if they could, any TV show has been on as long, I think any TV show, like I would do it for Law and Order because
I'm ridiculous
like that. But the fact
Law
that I could pull up
world.
Law and Order World, where I could pull up every guest star, every quip that Bruce Briscoe said, and just run it as a loop or have it as my phone as a ringtone, I would do that because I'm that much into Law and Order.
Greg, I think Law and Order World will happen right after Johnny's milk conspiracy comes to fruition.
Because NBC's stupid. If NBC was smart, they would make Law and Order World.
No, do you really think that the people that watch Law and Order are as weird as you? I mean, come on.
I honestly don't think
that's. I can't imagine my mother going. Oh, I can't wait for that.
But even Saturday Night Live.
Out.
Saturday Night Live is the logical one they should do.
Johnny just called Greg weird?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, a little bit weird. A little bit weird about Law and Order.
I'm going to make you listen to the first 5 minutes of this episode on Johnny.
Nobody here is weird. What are you talking about?
Okay. It's Law and Order. Come on. Do you know who the demographic that watches that show is?
But the thing is,
my parents.
He's not wrong.
And me.
He's not wrong that it's a show that could support
it. Could support it.
But there's no audience for
it. There's no audience for it.
But Saturday Night Live is one.
Saturday Night
there's
Live
an
could.
Audience for that.
And that would be
Saturday
great.
Live would be amazing.
They already kind of have that on the Yahoo video service a little bit. But it's that. By the way, that video service sucks. I was trying to watch that Paley thing with the Wire cast again.
Yep.
And it the thing would not play. It's just junky. I don't know. Yahoo, get your shit together.
But Simpsons World is a step toward TV on your computer, TV on your internet. Which there are a couple other big steps that way this week.
It'll never happen, said Greg a couple episodes ago.
HBO is going to finally let you pay for a standalone web service.
Good. And then when everybody cobbles them all together, because they separate everything, you'll say, shit, I should just have cable. So, okay. Let's do this. To me, it's
going to
no, no. It's the price.
Thank you, Grant.
So, Netflix is what, $8.99 a month?
Netflix is $8.99. Hulu is $8.99.
That's $16.
Amazon is $70 or $9.99 a year.
So that breaks up into a little over what? It's about $7 a year.
Let me counter argument your argument because you've made your argument many times. We know the argument.
Mm-hmm.
Counter argument because I'm generally with you on this. I already have Netflix and Amazon Prime. So it's not like I'm adding those in as well. Those are already on top of my cable.
Right.
So if I could ditch my cable bill and just have HBO and FX, I'd do that in a heartbeat.
Would that
I do that in a heartbeat.
Okay, that's fine. I mean, but
I
then
watch other stuff for free on Hulu with the ads.
The Cable's killer app. Cable's killer app, and you've said this before, yeah. is sports.
Sports. Yeah.
If you're not a sports fan,
yeah.
this is HBO Go. This is a shockwave because this is the one thing that is really keeping you from cutting the cord.
I don't think it's that big of a shockwave only because of the company that's doing it because of CBS. That's the shockwave because that's a whole but one
What's
company
next story.
CBS is doing it.
That's yeah. the shockwave.
You think so?
I think that it makes sense for HBO to do it.
It does.
But the other thing is CBS is doing it, but they already have shit for free. That's yeah. why that's weird to me. That's like, oh, CBS is doing it. But so now you either get free TV or you get everything CBS. Now what should happen, this is something Mark Cuban said, which Fox should do. Mark Cuban said this about 5 or 6 years ago, that what Fox should do, because they have so many media properties, is that they should basically have anything on Fox available, whether it's books, movies, I don't think they have any music, but like any of the TV shows, anything that's owned by Fox, have it at one portal.
Have a record. They have a record label in a different name.
Yeah.
See, and now
so, but if they did that, like, and you'd pay like $20, you can get anything, like any book
from the content producer,
any content, all of it.
And that
I would do that in 2 seconds.
I could see that.
And it seems like Viacom is going that way because once CBS is doing it, we'll see if Comedy Central does it like that. We'll see if HBO does it.
There needs to be a site like or something called like Apple. you can just buy anything.
No, but if you're streaming it and it but if you can't buy it.
So,
but that's an episode at a time.
The CBS All Access, by the way, the interesting thing is that the new stuff, like the stuff you can get on Hulu, will have ads, same ads that are on the TV show. But the classic stuff, which includes Star Trek, Cheers, yeah. Twin Peaks, will stream without ads.
That's cool.
Mm. Now, all three of those examples are also on Netflix. So my question is. What does this mean for Netflix?
It means they're pulling it. That's why their stock went down. They're pulling out. They're going to pull that stuff from Netflix.
Because this is what could be bad for Netflix.
And
if
Prime.
If they've opened up the streaming market and the content producers realize, wait a minute, we don't need a gatekeeper. This could be bad for Netflix.
And Amazon Prime, too. That's why they're making new shows.
Got into their own original programming.
Right. Same thing with Amazon Prime.
They're covering their bases there. But at the same time, I think Netflix might need to take a gamble and potentially purchase one of those other sites before they purchase one of those other companies.
Like Hulu?
I don't think they got the money for that.
They can't.
Someone else under their umbrella.
Well, Hulu is owned by NBC Universal, so that's not going to happen. Yeah. They're going
to
sell it. So.
I think Netflix is too small to buy one of those other sites.
I mean, they'd have to merge with something because if Viacom can do it all.
With Amazon?
See, that's what's more likely.
You know
honestly.
What?
Yeah. Amazon and Netflix merging.
That would make sense.
That's the direction everything's going is bigger corporations, which makes me a little nervous.
Which actually, that's what happened to the record label. That's what happens all the time. Everything, you have all these little guys, and then the big guys say, hey, wait a second. We can do it better because
they just get bought by Disney.
Yeah. Which,
Disney did that, and they just boom.
But if Disney did that, with all their Marvel stuff, all the Disney stuff, all the ABC stuff, all the classic stuff,
and then
this would get me interested because they have ESPN. Now, if they did the ESPN stuff, because ESPN's got all the basketball, which is what I care about, and they've got Monday Night Football.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean,
Disney owns
would have a big swinging dick.
Well, who owns the Marvel property? That are going to be on Netflix are those Disney?
Those are
owned?
Disney.
Yeah.
I bet it's
Disney.
Already in the works. Then.
Yeah. So but then again, then you're going to have to price it, and then that's what's strange about it, because then you're going to price it. They got to make sure all their infrastructure is together to do that. Because the one thing, I don't know about. I have heard bad shit about Comcast, Time Warner. I didn't like dealing with Time Warner, but they had their shit somewhat together. I love UVerse, and now with Google, with Fiber coming, Fiber is going to be in Austin in December in South Austin, and it'll be in the Gigapower UVerse is going to be up. It's going to be around the same time. Now it's going to be interesting because they have worked on their infrastructure for it. Now these other sites, they're still going to be, even if you bust out HBO. You're gonna get where you're getting your cable from. I mean, where you're getting your internet from? That company is going to raise their prices.
Cable companies aren't losing money; they're just changing their business model.
Right. But then the carriers like Time Warner, if they lose it, they're going to take it out on the customer anyway.
The big losers here are in the end, quite possibly Netflix, since it gets bought, and the smaller channels. Like we all liked Rectify, but there's no way
Sundance is owned
by. There's no way we would have bought Sundance before Rectify came out. We would never have known.
But who is Sundance owned by? See, all those channels are owned by other channels. Yeah. That's the thing, and I don't know. I can't remember like AMC.
I feel like there's too many channels. So yeah. This is gonna.
Well, we're definitely it's definitely gonna collapse in if
like,
that's the case.
Like, because AMC, I think, is the only one that's not owned by anybody. That's why their shit. That's why the whole Mad Men going away and all that stuff is a really big deal to them.
But no, I think HBO. I think HBO is a big deal because I think that, like I say, for me at least, that was the one thing I couldn't easily get legally if I wanted to cut the cord. Like, I could easily get, if I get Hulu and Amazon and Netflix, I get 90% of what I want to watch.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I have to buy episodes of Top Chef or whatever, but that's not that hard. But HBO was the big whale of content I could not get without any cable subscription.
I was waiting to see how much it took.
I still think there's going to be a website that pops up that is able to be like, you pay one subscription to us. We take that and throw our money, diversify our money into these other.
I think what's going to happen.
I have access to all this.
I think what's going to happen is that the cable
company.
Like
a cable box.
Yeah, but I think the cable box. I think the cable companies will finally get smart and let you go a la carte. That's the thing. That's what I really want. So I can buy like 100 channels. You know, because I don't need like all the Spanish
100 channels and you just check box the
ones. Or which ones I want. That's really what I want. I think they're going
to
do that.
I don't know where it's going, but the HBO thing is sooner than I expected it to be. I was surprised.
Yeah.
Do they have a price?
None. And that's the whole other thing.
So,
you're going to guess.
You know,
to be competitive, it's got to be around $10
or $20. It's HBO.
Wow,
they
just $20 bucks.
I'd do it.
$20. So that's like $50 already with what you're doing.
Yeah. I bet they have to go lower though.
They gotta go lower.
They probably will
because it doesn't
but
make
it wouldn't
any
shock me.
But I don't know. It's kind of like the New York Times. You know, the New York Times. I'm surprised. I mean, they. You know, they do all right with their pay subscriptions, you know, for everything.
You know what their pay rate is? Their pay rate is fuck you or HBO. That's what their pay rate
is.
Well,
that and that's good because they've got the content. That's the market.
Yeah.
That's the demand.
What else we got?
So, Mulaney's show has been trimmed to 13 episodes.
Six seasons and a movie.
Right after the 13th episode was filmed, apparently. Originally, it was going to be a 16-episode order. It was picked. Here's the thing. This show came on. It was already a pickup from NBC.
Mm-hmm.
It was ordered by Kevin Riley, the previous guy at Fox, who's on his way, who's been fired, and it was getting horrible critical response and bad ratings.
Mm-hmm.
This show's doomed.
It's such a strange situation because everything about it should work, and yet it just doesn't.
It just doesn't.
And yet, it all works on paper. You know, if you read the script, it's like, those are some pretty good lines, but it's put together so badly. It's not good to look at.
Yeah.
It's got just the seams are showing in every scene.
What breaks my heart is it even makes me laugh at like, I laugh at the show.
Yeah,
definitely. There are shows that are better that don't make me laugh, but it's just so uneven and so weak, so very weak in some places that the occasional strength can't
you know what's it. This would be great for this is what like I'm lucky because I get a free subscription to the Hollywood Reporter, but the Hollywood Reporter like covers all that background stuff where you realize producer X didn't really like the star or whatever, and that's why it you know it fell apart when it shouldn't have fallen apart. This sounds like a perfect investigative report.
What went wrong?
Because like you guys are saying, there's too much stuff that should work.
Yeah. Well, the thing is the for some reason they wanted to relaunch the old, you know, three camera style or whatever they call it, and
multicam.
When the multicam, and you know, you were talking earlier about Friends and you know shows not holding up, shows that were good, trying to visit old shows. This show tried to recreate old shows. And that's why sitcoms go away now.
Yeah.
You know, because they're so of the moment.
Yeah.
And the style just doesn't support what they're doing.
It's weird because ABC, that Friday night, he's still got Tim Allen, who's like a cockroach, will not go away. His show is back for like, this is like season four or
last
five of that show.
Standing.
Yeah.
But they don't make a big deal about that show. That's the other weird thing is how they make such a big deal about a show that everybody feels like they have to watch it.
Well, they do.
And then you watch it and you go, wow, I'm mad at you for making me watch it. I couldn't ignore it.
It's a fine sitcom. I get a couple laughs.
It's just a relic.
Yeah, but I get a couple laughs because Tim Allen. Whatever you say about him, the dude's kind of he's funny. He's got
he has a built-in audience.
He's got his built-in audience, and he hits and he there is a good point.
And
good point,
Mulaney. That guy's got to be exhausted doing this, and then running over and doing Flash.
as well.
Yeah.
He's both shows.
That's
he's
right.
Not he really needs Flash. To eat.
John Mulaney is the Flash. It's very clear.
He looks needs just, to, like, he just like he needs to eat something between scenes.
Yeah. One last bit of sad news.
I saw this.
Cancellation. In a press release that may have been written by Diane Kruger's character, because it was so terse, FX has said, "We will not be moving forward with a third season of The Bridge."
That makes me sad.
But
I was very fond of that
As far
show.
As the FX shows, I feel like it was...
I don't know, but
it was very much like Lights
but
Out.
But did it's they...
Like,
was,
you like it, but...
No, but...
No, Lights Out was a whole lot worse.
I liked Lights Out way better than I liked The Bridge.
Really?
Yeah.
Lights Out was a whole different show from week to week.
Yeah, I liked...
Stacey Keach
leaves. Like, Lights Out was continued as Ray Donovan on Showtime.
But here's the thing, is it possible Netflix will pick this up and then FX will do a season and then FX will decide to cancel it again and Netflix will pick it up for another season?
No, that's not happen. Maybe it's...
Poor Netflix digging in the gutters.
Now, I just loved having Lyle Lovett on there.
Like, did they...
That was one of the best casts on TV.
Did they pick up...
See, and I'm just happy to...
I don't think they didn't pick up Tyrant, did they?
No.
Okay.
I'm happy to have that cast dispersed out of the wild for better shows because I didn't like The Bridge.
I didn't
watch season two. In fairness,
season two got
the premise
really good.
Didn't hold my interest as much.
I think that I kind of agree with Randy. Like, I didn't finish the second season, but I do feel like that show it had potential to push itself further. It had a really intriguing concept with that border,
yeah,
and it seemed like from the first season and then. From the half, I watched half the second season. It still seemed like it was being a little safe, I guess.
I don't know. I wouldn't say it was safe.
I wouldn't say it was safe.
It wasn't going as ambitious as something like The Wire.
It was pretty well
when it could with that kind of.
Role. I really liked the first couple episodes, but by a couple episodes in, I was bored.
Well, they went to the weird serial killer thing. That kind of took it off its rails. But they came back with it so hard because of the way they kind of ended it in the middle of the show, and then they had that third arc, which I thought was awesome.
Well, wasn't Franca kind of like a serial killer too?
Yeah, but it all made sense. But it all made sense with the whole. Well, she wasn't a serial killer. She was just a sociopath because of what happened with her. And I don't know. I bought into it because. You know, for me, procedural drugs. I like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I bought
too fantastical
it.
About it. I guess for the
was
for
it the
I don't
for the gritty realism that otherwise they wanted to.
Yeah, no, I could see that.
No, but you
but
know,
it wasn't a weak. It didn't break.
No,
it.
But you know why I don't believe I because
and being on the same channel as The Strain.
No,
I don't
but
know, I felt like it kind of bled off.
Well,
into
if you
it.
Read like, eh, if you read any real fiction or I mean or nonfiction or any news accounts about what goes on down there, like there's this new one where this reporter, it just came out today in a Daily Beast, this reporter was reporting on this drug cartel and tweeting about it, and they murdered her and tweeted about it.
Sure.
I mean, but and not just that. I mean, like, if you watch, like, that movie...
Breaking Bad would do stuff that kind of flirted with those storylines, and I thought they really elevated it and did something.
Like the Murder Ballad guys.
Well, they made it... Well, that was very real. But that was very real. But
yeah,
that's the kind of thing that... No offense. Law and Order did that,
if you didn't know that was a real thing...
Law and Order did that years ago. No offense, but they did. I hate to say it, but they did it. They did. They did it years ago. They didn't film a video about it.
Okay, I'm not offended.
I know, but I'm just saying. I'm not trying to bring Breaking Bad.
On behalf of Murder Ballad ears everywhere.
That was more of a shot at Breaking Bad.
Is that our last story?
That was our last story.
All right, well, we're going to go ahead and take another break, and we'll be back to talk about some TV shows.
Hello, you. How was the rest? You made it through, but nevertheless, I got you.
Randy?
Yep.
Marry me.
Grant, I keep telling you, we're both already married.
No. Talk about the show.
Oh, the Marry Me. Got it.
I'm going to delete that.
Well, if you'd stop texting me in the middle of the night.
No.
You really want to know what I heard about this show. Yes. So this is a show that's co-created by David Caspi, who did Happy Endings, starring his wife, Casey Wilson, from Happy Endings, and Ken Marino, who you may know from...
What station is this on?
This is on NBC.
From Party Down, who's on Eastbound and Down.
Yeah. Veronica Mars. You've seen him a ton of stuff.
Mars.
So the two of them, basically, they've been dating for many, many years, and the show starts with him proposing to her, and it's just a few minutes too late, and she gets really angry and starts going on this big rant and insulting all their friends and his mother, then finally turns around and sees that he's trying to propose to her, and that he has snuck all her friends and family in, and she's just insulted everybody they know, and it's just a debacle. And it's simultaneously funny and sort of cringeworthy.
Okay.
And then they do it again a couple times through the episode. Like, they keep trying to get this engagement going, and they keep screwing it up, and they're starting to wonder if maybe they're cursed. So it's another one of these romantic comedy things. The trailer did nothing for me. I actually thought the trailer for it looked pretty horrible. But I sat down and watched the show because I like the creators and I like both these stars. And while I'm being pretty easy on pilots this year, and I've gone off like three shows that I like the pilots of, I like this pilot well enough that I'll stick with it. Ken Marino and Casey Wilson are both funny. They've got decent chemistry. Tim Meadows plays one of her gay dads, which I thought was great. They've got a good supporting cast. They've got, of course, a bearded best friend, like every other show. It looks like a potentially good, fun show.
So we've had a big string of these romance kind of... What were they called? Meet cutes?
Yeah.
What do they call them?
Meet cute.
A meet cute?
You never heard this?
No, what is that? A meet cute?
They meet. It's cute.
I've never heard that.
Have you never heard this? Been like a thing since the 80s.
No.
But
because I don't watch these shows.
We had this, A to Z, Manhattan, Love Story.
Yeah. Now this sounds like...
Selfie.
This sounds like basically her character... from Happy Endings if she had her own show and if she was gonna marry the guy she was gonna marry, you know, it was on and off.
A little bit like that. Yeah, I mean, they're definitely still the physical comedy, which made me laugh. I was always happy to see that because she's great at it. It's interesting. It's not Happy Endings, but then again, Happy Endings wasn't Happy Endings till midway through.
Right.
At the end of the episode, did they get married?
No, they get engaged.
So the whole thing is about them being engaged and
they may not be right for each other.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's the pitch. It's like I say, I've been really easy on unintentionally easy on comedy piles this year, so I don't trust my own judgment when I say I liked this, but I did like it well enough that I'm going to keep watching at least for a few more episodes.
This is a single camera.
Single camera, no laugh track, none of that crap.
All right.
So fun and sweet and entertaining.
What's it going up with? I mean, what other shows?
I don't even remember what night this show is on.
Tuesdays, I want to say.
Could be.
I don't know.
I just have IMDb pulled up and they don't have that info.
Right. Okay.
Interesting. So, what's the next show?
Next up is a show that all of us except Johnny have seen.
Okay.
Oh,
which
yeah.
is Top Chef is back for season 12.
Wait, I gotta tell you though, this whole playing up Boston thing is some. Yeah. Did you guys live in. You've been in Boston,
I've
right?
I've never been to Boston.
You've never been to Boston? I've been to Boston. I've lived in Boston.
Spent a good amount of time there. Spent some time there.
I don't like Boston, and I hate when people go, Boston, I gotta win this for Boston. I'm like, fuck you.
Boston is beautiful, man.
It's a beautiful. Yeah, but you gotta live there, man.
They have all these parks.
The people there drive me nuts. They do.
From New York. All right.
Well, I'm from Chicago, lived in New York, but I went to college there the first time.
I am neutral on the subject of Boston, except the Cheers was
there. It was one scene.
Anyway, here's what I want to know about Boston, though.
Yeah.
How come Boston, this little place, gets a Boston Top Chef and Texas?
They did.
Texas, not
Boston's
Austin.
A huge town.
Or Dallas. Or why was it Top Chef Texas and not Dallas or Austin?
Because they went around all of Texas, and quite frankly, outside of Cambridge and Boston and maybe where in Amherst and Cape Cod, there's not much to Massachusetts.
I'm just saying
the mistake. Yeah. I think that they were trying to do some fun little road trip thing with our Texas season when they should have just centered on another city.
Yeah.
And it ended up costing them. Maybe they're like, oh, we should pick Austin, but don't we kind of want to see the Alamo?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so they're like, well, how do we do it?
Yeah,
see,
that's what I think.
I think it should have been Top Chef Austin or Top Chef Dallas. And then they could go back later for Top Chef Houston or Top Chef Dallas or whatever.
They still might.
I agree.
They should.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, you didn't cover Texas well, guys.
But have they done, I've been at it late, so have they done Top Chef LA? Because it seems like all these chefs are from LA.
I came in late. They must have done LA early on, right?
They didn't do LA?
I don't recall.
I mean, like all
New York, they've done Vegas, they've done Seattle.
Huh.
Maybe.
I don't know, because it literally seems like every chef is from either New York, LA. I don't think they got any from Austin this time.
Here's the other question I have, Grant. You probably mm-hmm. may know this. Top Chef All Stars, was that season 8?
That it's not an official season. It's in between seasons.
But right. it was around season 8 around that
what
time?
What are we on right now?
11? 12.
12.
They've done 2 of them.
They have done 2 of them? Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's like so maybe next season will be All Stars?
They might have another All Stars.
I am ready for All Stars. Yeah. I loved All Stars. That's where I came in.
I got to say, I loved this first episode in.
I was pretty happy with it.
I thought they did a very interesting thing with the quickfire.
Yes, yes. Yeah. I thought it was cool.
Pick at a challenger.
Wait. And yeah, that was cool. And I mean,
I love he took on that other guy, and the guy's like,
"Fuck you!"
Actually, I'm like a really fucking good chef.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. And you know what? I gotta admit, it creeped me out because I have to say, I've not met a lot other than Gregory Hines. I've not met a lot of black guys named Gregory. So I was like, they kept saying Gregory. I was like, huh?
Gregory Gourdet, who by the way is my current pick to win.
Oh, it really?
I mean, he's got some chops.
The fact he did a trio, but he had no risk.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
That's right.
One done whatever. Yeah.
Right. Yes, that's good.
All he was going for was showing off.
But he also didn't he finish in the top 3?
Yes, he did.
End,
yes, he did. He did. He had a real it was a weird combination dish that he had. They're like, "I don't know." And they're like, "But I like it. It's good." You know, when you intrigue those taste buds.
Yeah.
That's what they did with all of them. You're like, "Okay, that's somebody to watch for."
I think he may go out early, but Ron Eister, the guy who doesn't look like a Top Chef contestant, the big dude.
Guy, I
like him.
I like that he was all like bitchy about like, you have to be skinny and have tattoos.
And the next guy.
Yeah,
skinny. All tattooed and skinny. Yes.
Good producer, good editing.
Yes.
And then
you're good at this.
And then I don't know how to feel. I actually love the fact that they were Carrie Ann, was that her name? The blonde chick?
Yeah.
The blonde woman? Yeah. How they're like, she's like coming in bubbly, and I won this kind of made up award she won.
Yeah.
And then the other guy was like, yeah, pff, whatever, I don't know. And she cleaned his clock.
She was fucking awesome.
Cleaned his clock.
Couldn't do shit.
That was awesome.
Speaking of the expectations, Katsuchi Tanabe, the Mexican-Japanese guy, who came in with this impressive resume of all this different stuff, and then couldn't shut clams to save his life and burned the whole team.
Johnny. Yeah. He was like, okay, that team was running. They were like killing everybody. They should have won it. And he's shucking clams. He's got the clam like with the end of the knife. Hit bang on the table. It was like,
you want to talk about good producers because they had those great shots and little stinger music as everyone's watching and looking at horror over the station.
Because it was loud as hell.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
So this year they've made a couple other changes I noticed. Richard Blaze is now one of the judges.
That's awesome.
He's great. It almost seems like they're grooming him to take over for Colicchio.
Maybe probably.
Been doing this 12 years.
A long time.
Yeah.
And if anyone would also be able to take the reins, I think Richard Blaze is a great
choice. So do I.
I actually thought seeing everything at the Top Chef Festival was kind of cool.
That was cool.
That was a neat
thing. I'm surprised he'd never done that before.
And by the way, cool. The producers do sort of hint at you like what's going to go wrong.
Yeah.
And when the lady started making the salad,
they
clearly were like, this is bad.
Yeah.
It's going to go badly.
Right.
And it did.
What did she do? I have to know.
She made a salad for her first dish. First ever dish on Top Chef, she made a salad.
And it's like,
you don't do that.
Try to impress
them. Just a lettuce and tomato kind of
salad.
No.
I mean,
broccoli and stuff.
Yeah, but
a broccoli.
A salad bar salad.
But everybody, all the judges were like, this is a side dish.
Yeah.
Why did you make us a side dish for your first ever dish?
Oh wow!
It was
nice that they called.
Did they hit her with a cleaver?
No.
Afterwards, they did.
That would be cool.
But speaking of that, they did. Padme and Richard, when they're walking around, they just like tore into people.
Was it the guy? Did that guy end up getting eliminated? The one that Padma basically puked on eating his thing?
No.
No.
What?
No,
remember that one? Well, she's like, he was eating it. She's eating it, and she's like spitting it.
She spit it out. Yeah,
which I loved. I was like, oh boy.
He gave her, and that guy was talking some shit.
Of course, he's talking some shit.
Or was he the guy, Michael Patazian? I think he might have been the guy.
I think he was the guy who went home because he almost puked.
Because at the table, he was like, well, I guess Tom doesn't have a very good palate. And I'm like, dude, he's Tom Colicchio.
Okay, dude.
Douchebag private chef. Come on.
I mean, come on, man. It's just, you can't do that.
The other thing I really liked in this episode, at the very end of the judging table, they brought
everybody out. Yeah, I like that too.
I have never seen them do
they
that.
They haven't.
Before. Yeah.
And so that was really cool because you get everyone right at the very beginning to experience what it's like being judged up there, to kind of know what they're going to say to you, and then to see how they treat both the winners and the losers.
Yeah.
Right. And it was just like, it was a good learning lesson.
I hope
although it's shameful for the people who got
killed. I hope they do that again. I hope they keep doing that.
I think it's really good at when watching like other shows like this, that Top Chef, and I will give Top Chef and Project Runway this, that they always try to change things, but they don't do anything. Sometimes they get gimmicky, but little subtle things like bringing everybody out for the judging.
Yeah, and they weren't like we're doing this audience because of this. Like they would have to do on something like Amazing Race or whatever.
Right,
they don't have to tell you directly.
And the fact that they
get what they're doing
and.
But
it always made sense too, because when you're walking around, it's kind of like, this food sucks. It's really nothing you can say to change my mind.
Right.
You saw it on a camera, I didn't like it, and it's funny to see to have them try to defend themselves, and
I didn't see like any of them try to defend it. It's like, this is too salty. I didn't get any heat from this. No one even said anything. I'd be like, here, try it again. Here, seriously.
Right.
Take
right.
another one of the sriracha things. Oh, that's a guy who went home.
Yeah.
The sriracha ball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She spit it. No, it wasn't. Oh,
okay.
So you should have been like, no, try this again, like this in your hand.
Right.
Tell me you don't actually get some heat from that.
Right.
I totally tasted it in mine. Please try again.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they're not gonna.
Yeah.
I mean, that's Top Chef.
No,
they don't...
I mean, that's just an example. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've seen contestants on other seasons. I've seen contestants in other shows like Runway.
Yeah. Yeah.
They'll challenge them, and I like seeing that.
I like seeing it because there is a certain thing about, and this is one thing that always bothers me a little bit about these shows. It's like, these are all very successful people.
Yeah.
You know, they're all... Yeah. And so I'm kind of like, why would you put yourself through this shit? Because you already have three restaurants. You already kind of like the shit. Because
$125,000 ain't nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, have confidence and fight for it.
Right, fight for it.
That shows something else, I think. And I...
Yeah.
There was this guy in this show, Project Runway.
Which one?
Santino Rice. I think
season three. Yeah.
This guy got up on stage and he bitched and yelled at and fought with the judges every single episode.
Yeah.
And it was fucking awesome. And he kept going on.
Right.
And I mean, they would complain about his style and he would fight for it.
Well, it was a couple of times with the Russian girl, the crazy Russian. I mean, the Russian guy won it, but in that season with the crazy Russian girl, she did the same thing. And just challenged them and beat them up all the time.
I guess you run into an issue with reality shows that you're looking for personality over talent.
Right.
And I think that Top Chef is always good about finding talent.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Personality's secondary.
Well, that's where it's like, they're all really, really talented people.
Yeah.
And I mean, they don't get like the woman, like Joy Crump, might be the least qualified person. That's the black chick
with the hair. But she's got some skills.
She's got some skills.
We only think she's least qualified because she's being humbled.
She said that, but I wouldn't. Yeah.
But I mean,
she's still cooking any of us.
Except for Johnny
and his meat smoker.
Right. Well, Johnny could be on Top Chef. That'd be cool.
All that brings me to the question. Did you see the episode of Treme when Kim Dickens sold out
and went to the
restaurant?
Yeah.
And before she went and talked to Emeril, how great that was.
Right.
Just that whole, do I want to be a celebrity chef?
Yeah.
You know, and he was just kind of like, yeah, you really don't want to be a celebrity chef.
Yeah, he's giving
my soul doesn't belong to me anymore. Yeah. You know, it was really kind of a brutal, pretty much.
It was implied.
But it was very much like you aren't going to own yourself anymore.
But that was fiction.
Your name is not going to be your own from this point on.
That's pretty fascinating. Emeril's a judge on.
Yeah, well, that's also fiction a little bit. I mean, it's not like he's giving the money back. I mean,
he's kind of like, once you're in, you're all in for the rest of your life.
And that's
really really did stress that to her, like, you have to really be willing to commit. And she wasn't able to live up to it.
Right. No, she shut down a restaurant and became a detective.
She did.
Exactly. But, yeah, no, the celebrity chef thing, I mean, you guys are more foodies than I am. I'm kind of getting easing myself in that world. Like, I don't quite understand what the qualities of a celebrity chef are. I mean, what exactly, like, what Paul Key does, because he's probably him and the guy who did Uchi, who Paul worked for.
I don't think he's a, like, celebrity chef in the same regard as, a TV personality.
Yeah. Right. But, I mean, but even before they get to that, I mean, Emeril, before he got to that, was well-known as a, or like Wolfgang Puck or something like that. Like, what is it about their?
Because they open restaurants.
Yeah, but
I mean,
what is it?
That's where it comes.
But what is it? I always wonder, like, what's the quality of the food that makes them think differently than somebody else? I don't know.
I don't know that either, because it's not always chefs cooking. It's sometimes they're the sort of the producers. You know,
right,
the guys set up. Yeah. Before we close out this segment, I got to ask early on. But do you guys have favorite to win?
I told
you my pick.
Yeah.
I like Gregory.
Feel like got to see even half the cast presented because of how the format.
So I'd like
to see more of the people.
Gregory, I thought was sneaky good.
I feel like I generally need about three episodes.
The late, before you get your and I want to say, was it May Lin?
Yeah, I think she's got some skill too.
I do think it's weird because they end up working for people they all know, which is also I think is strange. It's got to be kind of a weird kind of competition. Like, you know, when she's like, "Yeah, I work for Chef whoever in L.A.
Voltaggio.
Yeah, and you know, Padma's like, "Yeah, I know him really well, blah, blah, blah. So I'm like...
He was on the show. He was a competitor.
Yeah, so I'm like, what?
It's weird. It's incestuous. It's funny to see the previous contestants now be these, like, dignified chefs that are grooming their own contestants.
Which is... And that's why, in a way, I'm like, well, then why bother going on? But it's good... I mean, it's good press for everybody for the scene.
Yeah, it's a lot of money. And publicity.
And even if you don't win,
you
kind of springboard just by being on it.
Well, I don't know if you've noticed, but the commercials...
all
the commercials have contenders from Top Chef. I mean, two of the ones who didn't win are on the, like, Healthy Choice commercials.
Yep.
They get to keep coming back.
They keep coming back. And I think... Is there a website that traces where all these restaurants are?
Yeah, there's plenty of them.
Sure, because
but on their own site, you can look up at previous people.
Yeah, because I think that's a good idea. Like, Eddie, the one guy from a couple, he was Korean. He was from Kentucky. I actually worked for him. Me and my friend Eric worked for him in New York. But it was like years ago, and I only worked for him for maybe like 3 months. But I'm like, oh shit, I gotta go back. I gotta go to his restaurant in Kentucky. So
you won't be able to afford it now.
Yeah, you're right. That's the other thing.
The big truth here. Is even if you don't really go very far in the competition, in the future you're going to be able to get investors.
Yeah.
You know, you get to mark up your waiting list on your restaurant is going
to
be
four different Top Chef contestants.
Didn't you go to the one in Dallas?
Yeah,
didn't you do the one in Dallas?
There's two of them. There's this guy Trey, and this lady. Well, I don't know. Her name was like Kim or something. Her place is called Brownstone, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
I went to both of them. I wasn't all that impressed. Mm-hmm. It was okay.
Have you been to Key here?
Key is I mean, Paul Key's food is a lot better.
Well, yeah, I mean, I love...
The only thing I don't like about Key here is that it doesn't seem to have a consistent theme.
Well, it's just...
It seems all over the place.
Yeah, I mean,
his food is great.
Well, and Eastside Kings. I go there at least once a week. So
I think it's even better than
so it's really, really good. But yeah, I gotta get the Key. So anyway,
we love this show.
Love this show.
And I'm have it back. It winds up. It always shoots the top of my DVR.
Yeah,
I always want to watch it the second it's on.
It's the one my wife and I have to watch.
Yeah, this is a very good one for couples. Yeah.
Do you take anything from the show and try it yourself in the kitchen?
Oh, yes. I do.
Because that's my thing about cooking shows.
Like, little things that, I mean, because I'm kind of
gross
as a cooker.
It doesn't instruct you, though.
Yeah, this is such a different kind of cooking show. It's not, they're not showing you how to do it. Mostly we're seeing the end product and we're seeing the results, and I don't feel like I could taste
but there's
the drama behind it and the competition.
But there's some little stuff, and then also didn't we talk about this last year where there's this like five things you just can't do, and if you do it in those things, you just know, like, okay, you can't fuck up like a burger, you can't or you mess up fish, or you have to use fresh products because
can't buy pasta if you should make
I mean, it's like something all these little things is like, and you can see where like the real chefs or the quality chefs that really take pride will say will not skip those steps. And in one way, I say, okay, well, if I'm going to cook for myself, I'm going to try not to skip that step and like, oh, that shit actually does taste good. So
Yeah.
I think that's essentially, it makes me wish I was a better chef. Yeah. That's mostly as far as it goes. Mm.
I just pay attention to what they do.
Yeah.
I mean, not the process so much, but what the ingredients are. Yeah. And that helps me go, let me pair this with that. Mm-hmm.
We've given a lot of time for this. Let's go to our next
show. Okay. Our next show, we actually had a request on this one. A listener wanted to know what Johnny thought, well, what all of us thought about American Horror Story, the latest season. And Johnny, you've been watching.
Well, it's a little early in the game. We've only had two episodes, but it's a whole different ball game this year than it has been in the previous
Freak Show.
Four? Have we had four?
Four. This is the fourth season.
This is the fourth season. Okay. We've got the core players. We've got Jessica Lange. Yeah, this is American Horror Story Freak Show.
Freak Show. This one's in the circus in, like, what, the 30s?
It's in 40s. Jupiter, Florida, which is famous because that's where a lot of the circuses summer, you know, or winter. Mm-hmm. That's where they spend their winters. And,
so all the
that X-Files episode.
Where they hibernate.
So it's
remember
Connie
that
Town.
X-Files episode? That was in Jupiter, Florida.
Okay.
So this is set there, but these are the only circus folk that we see, or this freak show. And they're actually, so it's a little incongruous with reality in that they're set up as a show, you know, in town. It's the goings-on in this freak show that Jessica Lange is running. She's a very Marlena Dietrich. I'm going to go ahead and...
That's her name?
No, that's she was a famous actress.
Wait, stop. You don't know who Marlena Dietrich is?
I do not know.
Wow.
Whoa.
Yeah, I know who Marlena Dietrich is.
Every once in a while, Grant, your age just pops in.
Her name is Elsa Mars in this one, and she has a German accent, and she
Mars
smokes.
From Jupiter? Okay.
Yes, right. And Venus and Mars are all right tonight. Uh-huh. And we got Evan Peters as Jimmy Darling, who is a lobster boy. You've seen The Lobster Boy. You all remember the weird murder thing of The Lobster Boy.
Yeah.
He killed the guy that was whatever. He was a really creepy son of a bitch. Well,
the checklist is the little strong man.
Yeah, well, back to Evan Peters, though. He's not only the lobster boy, he's pretty much Edward Dildo Hands. Because his introduction on the show is he goes to what seems to be a Tupperware party or something.
Oh, no.
And he sticks his hands up ladies' dresses and brings them to climax with his giant... big Edward Dildo Hands lobster lobster claw hands. Seems really happy with his work. generally wears mittens though when other people aren't looking. And he's great. I love Evan Peters. He's Quicksilver in the new Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
I think he's
X-Men Days of Future Past.
Yeah, and he has been on he's been in every season. Uh-huh. Frances Conroy's been in a little bit. Sarah Paulson.
She's been in all four seasons.
But she isn't.
She's
a main player.
Part.
Yeah, she's always
like an angel of death. They'll pop in like two episodes.
Yeah,
but this time to make up for a small role, they've given her two roles. Really?
Mm-hmm. You know,
No. That's Sarah
Paulson always has a pretty big part.
She has two heads. Whatever.
And she pulls it off with aplomb.
When did she first pop up? Was she first in Asylum, the second season?
She was in Asylum, yeah. She wasn't in the first season.
She was like one of those little side characters.
She might have had a brief cameo. Let's see. Atlanta Winters, Cordelia Fox, Billy Dean Howard. Yeah, so she was in, or Cordelia Good. So she was in the first season, but probably not a big part.
Yeah, okay.
That was a more just real traditional ghost haunted house story. The show's really gotten crazy since then.
Yeah.
You know, they've got a whole world building thing with the freak show. Now, here's the deal. They've got a whole lot of authentic human oddities.
Mm-hmm.
There's this little Indian woman who clearly has a glandular disorder because she's about 12 pounds and about 12 inches tall.
Yeah. I've seen pictures of her before.
And she's an adult, you know.
Yeah.
Pepper, the pinhead, that's an actress. That's not really her pinhead.
She's not an actress.
And she was in, that's Naomi Grossman, and she was in Asylum.
Uh-huh.
She played a pinhead, crazy, I don't know what the politically correct word is. When you're a pinhead, the Ramones are singing about you, just stick with pinhead. That's pretty good. And speaking of the Ramones and speaking of Todd Browning's Freaks, they did a really good little tribute to Todd Browning's Freaks in the first episode. Jimmy Darling, Evan Peters, killed a police detective who had come around. Okay, in addition, okay, this is turning into Under the Dome.
Yeah.
In addition to the freak show that is in town, that the people of the town don't want the freak show there, there's a guy called Twisty the Clown who is walking, and he's like got the old Italian Pagliacci type clown outfit. And he's like a Zodiac serial killer and killing people just randomly.
See, like all clowns.
Like all clowns, exactly.
That's what I was kind of curious about. It seems like, you know, the other couple seasons, a haunted house, okay, ghosts and stuff killing people. Asylum, you got crazy people killing people. You have some sort of occult stuff. And then they went to Coven, which had witches and stuff, and witches and black magic and all that. And
killing
a
people.
Lot of more. That was where the horror was stemming from. Here you have people who have unfortunate appearances, I guess.
Right, right.
But where does the horror come in for this one?
Well, you know, I think that, again, it's only the second episode, but I think that the horror is going to be a kind of a reverse horror in that these are an oppressed people.
Oh, so
they're kind of the minority this time around. They're being
attacked?
Well, yeah, they've already, the police came and arrested a tiny little pinhead geek named Meep, and the final scene of the second episode was him having been killed in the jail. There was a scene that very much was it's a very intentional show, you know, there's nothing subtle at all about those guys. And
is there supernatural elements to this one?
I don't know yet.
Okay.
Because the mask came off of Twisty's face. He wears a big mouth mask over his face, and that came off, and the whole bottom of his jaw was gone.
Missing.
Yeah, and it was pretty gnarly. But there was a scene that was definitely staged as a lunch counter sit-in, and it's set in 1952, by the way. Ooh. And it was staged as a lunch counter sit-in, but by the freaks sitting in on the town. And he's going, hey, we just came here for lunch. We're going to have our lunch. Well, then there's this guy who is, you know, an authentic guy with, I don't know what his situation is, but what you call that deformity. But he has like these little chicken wing hands. Mm-hmm. Like, and then he's all tattooed in the neck like he's a Jim Rose circus sideshow guy. You know, like he's, I'm sure he really does this for a living.
Sure.
He goes, well, you know what? I don't have to order off the menu. This lady, because they kind of creeped everybody out and they left, and he just grabs her plate and starts eating off of it, and it's kind of like, yeah, y'all aren't really ready to come sit at the counter with all the normal people. Okay, but the big twist that we've seen in format anyway,
yeah,
there's a little bit of bleed over from Glee. In that, episode one, there is a, and it's available online, if you're not even into the show, it's worth watching. Jessica Lange sings Life on Mars. 1952, she's singing a David Bowie song, and it's completely, beautifully choreographed with all the freaks moving fans around her and stuff. It's just brilliant.
I feel like they did that in the second season with her as well, Jessica Lange.
They did that Anna Banana song.
Singing dance.
But this is a little different. I mean, she's actually performing to the house.
Oh,
I mean, it's part of the
circus
show is that she's like, okay, ladies and gentlemen.
Although it's a bit anachronistic.
Yeah, a little bit. And then in the second episode, we had the wonderful Sarah Paulson, two-headed Sarah Paulson, with Betty and Dot Tatler, who are her two personality heads that have a telepathic connection. And Dot wants to be famous, and Betty wants to be left alone, and yet Betty's the one who can sing. And they sang the Fiona Apple song, Did a Bad Thing.
Criminal?
They sang Criminal. Mm-hmm. And then all these freaks and people in the audience get up and form this slow motion mosh pit in front of the stage.
Sounds like a Knight's Tale to me.
And she's singing. yeah, I can see that. There's no Nike stamped into the armor or anything.
It doesn't sound scary yet.
No, it's not scary except for Twisty the Clown.
So there's Twisty. That's weird. I mean, two episodes in, I would think they'd really kind of established the scarier element.
Oh, well, the okay, so the Twisty the Clown has killed some people, and they automatically suspect the freaks. A police detective shows up, starts talking shit, and Jimmy Darling, with a lobster boy, hacks him with an axe.
Ew.
All the freaks come around and chop him apart, and then there's a big celebration at the long table in the tent where they're going, kill the copper, kill the copper.
Okay, stuff
so
like that.
If you've ever seen Freaks, Todd Browning's Freaks, which is a great movie, if you've never seen it, it's quite classic, great horror movie. They do it like homage to that. Shot for shot, except for instead of we accept her, gaba gaba, we accept her, they were saying kill the copper, kill the copper. 2 episodes in, I'm hooked like a big old bass.
Okay.
And looking forward to episode 3 tonight or tomorrow. Yeah. So,
well, our next show we have is The Affair. And Johnny and Greg, you both have seen that.
Yes.
Give us a rundown.
Oh, The Affair. What I liked about it, and I don't know why it just... It's left me speechless because it looks beautiful. I like the way it's shot. It's something really subtle about just all the soft notes. They're going to have an affair. You know they're going to meet. But then now there's some crime around it. And
we don't know the crime.
Don't know the crime. But then so each kind of episode is seen or is described through like a police questioning through both their eyes. And they do certain subtle things like, so when Dominic West's character, Soloway, cannot remember his
Noah,
first name. Noah Soloway. He's telling it, and he's dressed a certain way. You know, he's kind of like a little bit more, he's not as suave in his version of it. But then when Ruth Wilson's character talks about it, he's a little bit more put together. Like he's more.
He's
the
much more pursuer.
Yeah,
he's the pursuer, and she's the prey.
Right.
And from his perspective, I don't mean to cut you off.
No, you're right.
From his perspective, his telling the story, she seduced him, and that's just in the first episode. Now you don't know that that's what's going to happen until 30 minutes in to episode one.
Yeah,
you've heard his side of the story, and all of a sudden they go boop.
Yeah,
well, let's hear her side of it.
Which,
and it's such a switch. It's such a great switch.
And it's a great switch. And I don't know why I never thought of that.
No,
I mean it's like
here's the thing. When you look back on it,
yeah,
the opening scene is when they're getting ready to leave the city.
Yeah.
for the country house,
which is perfect.
Or the beach house.
Yeah.
And his kid fakes like he hangs himself.
Yeah, that was kind of fucked up.
That was totally fucked up. I would have beaten that kid to death.
But yeah, but it kind of worked in a weird way.
Well, it was like, okay, don't believe anything you see from here on out.
Right.
You know, that was the big the setup there. So 2 episodes in on this as well. Mm-hmm. We don't know who's been killed. We don't really know what the evidence is that why they would suspect one of them.
Right.
But clearly they are attracted to each other, and no matter who was pursuing whom, they fell for each other.
Right.
On the beach, they fell into each other's arms and started making out.
And like, okay, one of the reasons why, beyond the fact that I have an irrational crush on Ruth Wilson, I think she's one of the
There's sexes. Nothing irrational
I
about
think she's
that.
Something when she's on screen, I literally like, oh my, and Helene's like, oh, you like her, and I'm like, yeah, I'm sorry, I like her.
And here's
she's
a little
gorgeous.
Alert. She has a little topless moment in episode 1.
I don't even care. I just her face, is her lips. Oh my god. Something about her. If I ever meet her, I'm going to melt.
I agree.
Going to melt in front of her.
I agree. And she's 31. She's not playing like, you know, under her age or anything.
No. She's playing perfectly, and the fact that she, of course, she's with two of my favorite characters of all time and actors. I mean, I've always loved Dominic West, and I like Idris Elba, so she was so both wire connections. And the other funny part is like, so Dominic West, he plays a high school teacher who just wrote a book, and he married into wealth. Though his wife was played by Maura Tierney, who's great, by the way, who also is not a bad looking woman. Helen Soloway, they go every summer. They go to her parents' place in the Hamptons. And what's so funny about that is I played small towns like that in the summer, like the beach resort towns. And so there's a real visceral, especially in the East, so there's a real visceral, like, I totally relate to this whole thing. And I relate to the townsfolk, and I relate to the city folk, because I'd go visit the towns, but I was in a band, so I was kind of working for the visitors too, because I'd be entertaining them. So I,
which is the position that Noah's in. Yeah. Noah is he's still the working class guy.
Right.
He's as working class as the townies are.
Right.
But he's one of the weekend people too.
Well, the funny thing is that you find out his whole deal like the first conversation. So he goes in, and his father-in-law, and this is just like a sick joke, is John Doman, who was Rawls in The Wire, who hated McNulty.
He's in Gotham too.
Yeah. So. Just seeing John Doman like shit on Dominic West again, as like I could watch that over and over and over again. So, and he's a dick. I mean, he's like, you know, he helped them pay for their house. He's like a rich author, and you know, he's like everybody's got one book in him, you know. And he's like, he does that weird John Doman laugh, where he's just that dick laugh.
Yeah, he's the most hated father-in-law on Sunday nights.
Yeah, so. So that's perfect. So you get the dynamics of that. So basically, Noah, and he's got these three kids, and they're kind of like his daughter is hanging out with a troubled girl. It seems like, and is like she's at that point of where she's trying to be sexy. His son is just, you know, troubled, and then he's got this daughter who's just like the third child, which is kind of just overwhelming for them. And then when he tries to have sex with his wife. She's like laughing at him in bed. I was like, that's some cold shit, man.
But see, that's the thing is that this is all from his perspective.
Yeah, they really
sell that he's going, I'm so miserable.
Right.
Of course I had an affair. I'm totally miserable.
Right.
You know, that's all. It's pretty, once you realize the formula or the, or at least the style that they're telling the story in, you know, you kind of have your own relationship with the show where you're going, well, I don't know who I believe.
But then you go.
But
to,
you don't ever have a third person's perspective.
Right. Then you go to Alice, Ruth's character's Allison. Now, she seems to be married to what you think from Noah's point of view is like this abusive asshole husband played by Joshua Jackson, Cole. You know, he's like. Because the first scene he enters is a very just kind of a nasty sexual scene, but then when you see it from her point of view, they both just went through a death of a child, so they're both having bad reactions to it. So they don't. So that kind of explains why she might be meandering or just not why that marriage.
She's
is
just
rocks.
Unhappy. She's terribly unhappy.
And then,
she's grieving, and he's grieving,
and
but he's
not
ready
rich.
To move on.
They're not rich. They, you know, the one tourist trap on the island, or one of them, or out in Long Island, is the horse ranch that Cole's family owns. So they seem she feels definitely trapped, and that is not making as much money as they thought it was. So it's like this whole, and she's by herself, and she's kind of in his family, and you can tell that she is just kind of not one of them. So she's on rocky terms. Noah is on rocky terms, and then something happened. We don't know what happened yet.
We don't know what happened to the daughter, but Mara Winningham, her mother-in-law,
yes.
was like, I'll clean out the rooms and y'all can move back into our house and have a baby again, and
like,
we can help you with the baby.
Right.
So it's like something happened that maybe she bears the weight of what happened to their child.
And then that funny little thing is the guy who owns the bar she worked, or the...
the creepy guy.
Yeah, but... Just that fact that she's been there that long, that they had sex when they were in high school, that he reminds her of it all the time.
And then there's something going on that seems a little criminal.
Yeah.
There was something with her picking up fish this week.
Oh, yeah.
Making sure that the door was locked.
Right.
So there's a whole lot going on.
Drinking that carton of milk.
No milk. There was no milk
involved. This is not a Rupert Murdoch production.
Yeah.
Oh.
But if you liked Gone Girl, if you like the unreliable narrator storyteller, and you like the fact that it pulls the rug out from under you and you have to do a little bit of work to follow the story, this is a good show.
It's a good show.
I like it just for the style and the actors and
so
everything. But I was really surprised at how nicely the story is unspooling.
Yeah.
All right, we got one more show to discuss. And Johnny, once again, kind of falls in your lap, although Randy's seen a little bit of it as well.
No,
Transparent.
I've seen all of it.
Oh, you saw all of it?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Okay, well, Transparent from Amazon.
Transparent's great.
It is absolutely great.
It's really, really good. It is Amazon Prime's streaming's first great show.
It's the kind... Well, I wouldn't say the first, because I'm pretty fond of the other ones, too.
Alpha House?
Yeah, Alpha House is pretty great. It's a different world, but it's pretty great.
Well, it's...
But I will tell you, it's like reading a great Raymond Carver story, or, you know, it's like... It's literary great.
Well, and it's from Jill Soloway, who is one of the people behind 6 Feet Under.
Wow.
And it feels very 6 Feet Under to me.
Yeah, I can see that.
Very character, very dysfunctional people in sort of weird situations.
Well, the premise is we got a 68-year-old father of three who is divorced.
Yep.
College professor, long-time divorced. College professor, apparently a celebrated college professor because his home is amazing. And suddenly, by the end of the first episode, you find out that the title Transparent
is trans.
Transparent.
Ba-dum-bum.
I mean, clearly.
Clearly.
No, and yeah, he's transitioning to become a woman.
Yeah.
And what's interesting to me about that is I thought maybe this was going to be one of those, that was it.
No, like it was going to be like Three's Company or
instead,
something.
Instead, no, I wasn't
some kind of zany thing.
I wasn't expecting laughs, but I was expecting that maybe it was going to be too focused on
trans issues. It's Jeffrey Tambor. I knew there would be some laughs.
Yeah. But I thought it might be sort of really focused on trans issues and sort of...
Oh, yeah,
In the same way that HBO's done some shows that were very much sort of about gay culture that didn't click with me. I'm like, it's not my world. I didn't know anything about
it. Yeah, it's not about the humanity. It's about
but
the thing.
He has three children, all fairly self-involved.
Yeah.
And one of them has a relationship, a lesbian relationship that sort of comes back and is very...
Since big. College, now it's back, and she has three kids of her own.
His son is sort of a hound who sleeps around a lot, and that sort of comes back on him, and... his other daughter is sort of trying to find herself.
They've the exquisite all got Gabby Hoffman, yes. My unlikely crush of the modern age.
She's weird looking.
She completely drives me crazy.
She's weird looking.
She's the unlikely crush of the universe.
I like her, but she's weird looking.
Oh yeah,
this show is.
I love her courage. She is just so, like, you know.
She's not afflicted with, like, a face ailment or something. No, she's a character actress. She's a character actress.
A little burner. I know. I love her courage.
Here's the thing. This show is very, it's unapologetic about sex.
Unapologetic.
They do a lot of sex scenes. And it's very, I was watching this, and I saw a lot of people talking about how the characters were all terrible people. And I didn't think that.
I never thought that.
I did by the end.
You did?
Yeah, by the end I thought, wow, these are all really self... I have a relatively low tolerance for narcissism.
Really?
Ironically. And
yet he loves Batman.
I don't know. I found them all so self... Basically, there's some things that... there's some stuff that Josh, the son played by J. Duplass... He does some things, especially to the rabbi, that I was like, oh, you son of a bitch. Yeah. And I feel like...
Catherine Hahn is my other huge crush. She's a rational crush.
Catherine Hahn I love.
Gabby Hoffman is my irrational crush. Yeah. Catherine Hahn is my, oh my God, you're on a pedestal.
I love Catherine Hahn and everything, and she's great here.
I would convert against, if she was a rabbi.
She's playing
town.
Against type, by the way, because usually she's the sort of... ballsy, you know, out there lady. She's playing much
and beautifully, beautifully doing
very
it.
Well done,
doing just perfectly.
Amy Landecker's Sarah, I thought she was the most grounded of the bunch, but there's something. I mean, she sort of keeps ping ponging between her husband and her lover, and I'm like, okay.
Rob Hubel is her husband.
Rob Hubel, who turns up in everything. He's in the league.
Yeah,
he's been a bunch of stuff lately.
Yeah, in a children's hospital.
And Melora Hardin plays her.
And Melora Hardin, who was Steve Carell's from The Office. She was Jan from
playing
The Office.
A much more butch character and
completely convincingly. Yeah. This is the thing about this show is that you could say that. They're horrible people, you say. To me, I say these are the most convincing, real people I've seen on TV in a long time.
There's a lot of great depth to these characters. The thing is, I don't come from a dysfunctional family in any way. I don't know a lot of people like this. This is not my world. So everybody's got problems. And there's an episode, I think episode 8, where everybody's world goes to shit at the same time.
Yeah.
For dramatic effect.
Right.
And
now is that the flashback episode?
No, it's probably, or maybe it is. It is the flashback. Basically, everybody's shit happens at the same time, and everybody's having a bad day at the same time.
Yeah.
And I felt like I got what they were going for, and dramatically it works. But I'm like, I don't buy this. I wish that someone was having their up day at the same time someone else was having their bad day, because I feel like that was more realistic. And it pulled me out of the show.
Well, the funny thing is that you realize that even though he's doing this, it's a pretty big thing to decide to change genders.
A little bit,
right?
Yeah, a little
so,
bit.
At 68.
At any time. Yeah, but yeah, at 68, you're like, I want to be an old Jewish woman. You know, yeah. I mean, that's a big step to take. That's not, you're not going to end up, you know, on a YouTube channel or something that way.
Yeah.
And yet, then you kind of watch the kids and you go, well, they're self-involved because their parents are self-involved.
Yeah,
they've all been really self-involved their whole lives.
Yes.
So what's interesting to me that the show pulled off is that by the end of the show, him taking steps to become a woman, which he convincingly pulls off.
He does.
Jeffrey Tambor. If I know you don't like the Emmys, but if Jeffrey Tambor doesn't get mentioned for an Emmy for
then
I'm on your. I'm getting bumper stickers printed up and driving them up and down Hollywood Boulevard.
I'll print them up right now, Johnny, because I don't know. I mean, here's the thing.
But anyway, the thing being, that by the end of the series, that's not even the most interesting.
No.
Plot point.
No, it's the characters. It's all the characters.
You just, they're all just so completely, you got Carrie Brownstein, who's always great to have.
Yeah.
It's so great. Everything about the show works for me.
Also, Bradley Whitford. Bradley Whitford's great in this.
I knew you were going to love him.
That was great. You know, that whole sequence, that's in the flashback, that moment. And this I have experienced, not with cross-dressing.
Right.
But with sort of comic book thing, you know.
You think you're going to have the best time in the world road tripping with this guy.
No, not even that. The opening part where the two of them, they have been all their lives. These guys are in their 50s at this point, maybe their 60s.
Yeah.
No, probably 50s. Probably 10 years before. And they have not been able to express who they are. They found one friend who they can talk to about this stuff. And then they go to this place. And everyone there is like them.
Right.
It's like the first time you go to Comic-Con or something. It's like, I am amongst my people.
Right.
And I was like so happy for him in that moment. And then when it turns, I was just heartbroken for Tambor's character.
And not to mention, you're like, I'm among my people. And then you go, wow, my people are assholes.
Well, but they weren't, his people.
That's the thing.
That was the realization of I still haven't found my group.
Right. Right.
And I thought that was just a heartbreaker. And this show breaks your heart repeatedly.
Repeatedly.
I mean, when they showed Catherine Hunt sitting alone with her meal that she made, broke my heart.
Oh, yeah. I love her so much.
Can we talk about Judith Light?
Judith Light is what has she has popped up all the time now. And oh my God, she's so great.
She's just so great. She's the Jewish grandmother, and she's fantastic. And she's just as self-involved. The whole thing with Ed, where she's talking about him, he wanders off, it's fine.
Yeah, her second husband has Alzheimer's or something, maybe had a stroke. I'm not real sure what was going on with him.
I got the sense it was a stroke, yeah.
He was lucid at times, but he still couldn't talk. One of the best, probably the best movie funeral I've ever seen in my life. Just everything about it. I can't recommend it highly enough. Give yourself a weekend because you're gonna want to marathon one episode after another.
I powered through this thing in 2 days.
Yeah, yeah. It took me 2 weekends.
It's 10 episodes. They're half hour episodes.
Oh,
yeah.
Half hour.
Oh,
okay.
And really wonderful music in it.
Oh.
I was really impressed with this. And Jill Soloway, the creator who writes a lot of it, she actually said in some interviews, she said sort of the theme is, would you still love me if? That's a really good way to sort of express it. It's people doing things, being people.
We'll be right back.
So there's a new trend in sidekicks lately on TV.
Yeah, I've noticed.
They're all chubby bearded dudes.
They're all chubby bearded dudes. Like
they're all comedians.
Are they all
And they're trying to cash in on Zach Galifianakis. You got Mixology as one of them.
Mm.
You got that A to Z.
That's a pretty notable one.
You got your Mulaney.
Mixology, yeah.
Yeah, Mixology Mulaney. Was last year. Yeah. That died. And New York Love, Manhattan Love Story.
Yeah.
They all kind of have beards on
there. Have them.
And they got those beards where, like, they have their beards are the same color as their skin. So they look like the Dr. Seuss Sam I Am guy.
It's a little creepy.
With a little lip line.
I mean, before we've had little...
So it's a trend.
It was always the best friend that was like the minority, right, Greg?
Yeah, the minority or the woman or the... It's like, okay, the best friend that's a minority. You have the judge that's... A woman, like a black woman, all the time, like that kind of moral authority. Well, you have like you have the whatever that best friend what embodies, like the regular. It sounds like the regular guy, or
the kooky
regular guy who just got that kooky
the
beard.
Cleaning woman.
But now we got the bearded best friend,
right. Little fat guy.
So, what do we think about this?
Yeah, fuck those guys.
Yeah, fuck those guys.
Push it good.